the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Gospel is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, and with thy whole soul, and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, David's. And he said to them, How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. In today's Gospel, St. Jerome, when commenting on it, points out that the Pharisee who stood up to tempt him was just doing that. He was trying to trap him. And he refers to our Lord as Master. Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Now, the fathers, other fathers also point this out. He really didn't think he was the Master. The Master is the one who you really respect and honor and love. And if he's trying to tempt him, by his very words, he is showing his falsity. Now, today, we have many people like the Pharisees who look to our Lord but don't really respect him as the Master. You know, the Pharisees were trying to trap him, and our Lord responds and says, there are two commandments upon which everything else rests. You are to love the Lord your God, and you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And unfortunately, in today's world, we have a lot of issues in where maybe people may proclaim that they follow our Lord. Unfortunately, there's many people nowadays who don't, but maybe even a Catholic or oftentimes Protestants will say that they are a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in reality, they do not follow the commandment. This commandment, the great commandment, to love the Lord your God, but then to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, this fall here in another month, we're going to have an election. We're going to elect the president. We're going to have many other elected officials. And everyone, or all these elected officials, speak on various topics. And there are topics that touch upon this very issue of loving our neighbor. And of course, I'm talking about, you know, there's a number of them, and I'm going to cover some of them right now. And one of them, of course, the most important, is abortion. You know, oftentimes we talk about, we have different arguments against abortion, and we forget that the fundamental truth is that that child is a person, that it is our neighbor. He or she is our neighbor. Our Lord says this commandment, all the other commandments, all the other truths, all the other teachings rest upon it. And so it is true here that this person who has been conceived is our neighbor, and that we are to love him or her. You know, we have an advantage today of our knowledge of biology. We know the precise moment that when that particle from the father and that part from the mother comes together, we know biologically that that is now different. You talk about chromosomes and things like that. There is now a unique set of chromosomes, and now that unique piece of matter will now go and develop into a full adult human as long as nothing goes wrong. The moment before that occurred, that those two parts came together, they would only live for a few hours and then die. As soon as they come together, which we call conception, that child will live then a full life unless something unfortunate happens. And we know this from our biology. And yet, even with our great technical knowledge, many people reject this. They don't want to respect that as our neighbor. That person, at the first moment of conception, is a person and deserves the rights and the dignities as such. It may not look like you and I. We can look at it under a microscope. It's just a single cell or a few cells. Nevertheless, it is still a person. And we have to respect it. You know, I remember when I was younger, Cardinal O'Connor, in the 80s, said abortion is the single issue for Catholic voters. Now, unfortunately, since that time, we've had a couple other issues of equal importance that have come up in our society. And so we have euthanasia, that is mercy killing. That is, at the end of the life, someone is decided to say, well, this person no longer deserves to live. Therefore, we will end their life. This is, again, not loving our neighbor. Even if the person's in a coma or maybe has some other type of defect, nevertheless, they have a right to live. God has created them, and that we are to love them and to help them to have a life until it naturally ends. Now, Pope John Paul II pointed out, he said, food and water are not medical care. It's not medicine. So you can never deny someone food or water. Maybe if their stomach no longer can absorb it, okay, that's one thing. But we cannot deny someone food and water. Oftentimes, at the end of the life, people will deny, or the doctors or the nurses will come in, and they will begin to deny food and water in order to terminate the life. This is not loving our neighbor. Or other types of things. Now, this is a very difficult issue, and so we have a lot of, if you know, anyone facing a question like this, we need to talk to a priest, because we do teach, we say, you are not required to do extraordinary means to continue your life. But that's different than to do something to terminate the life. So if someone has cancer, they can say, Father, do I have to take chemotherapy or radiation therapy? The answer is no. You're not required to, because that's extraordinary means. That's not euthanasia. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the opposite thing, to now take steps to specifically end the life, to do something or not do something which is not extraordinary in order to end the life. This is always wrong. Always. There are other issues, unfortunately, also. We have this thing called embryonic stem cell research, where the scientists take an embryo, that is, a child, and they experiment on them. They take them, parts of their cells, in order to do some kind of experimental work on them. Oftentimes, stem cells, these are cells which can develop into other types of cells, and they want to try to make some kind of medical advance. You know, just because something is possible doesn't mean that it's moral. And again, we come back and we say that embryo, that's a child. It's a child. And so we have to respect that child's life. We have to love our neighbor. We have to love him or her and protect him. And so we also have other things. And I guess I should add here, we have this embryonic stem cell research, and oftentimes the media, promises all these, you know, presents all these great breakthroughs that can happen. But as of right now, there is no medical treatment or anything that has arisen from this type of research. They've been doing it now for 15 or 20 years. Nothing. There's adult stem cells, so we don't want to say that all stem cells are bad. Adult stem cells, which are moral, because they take, like, from your fat, they can get a stem cell and they can do things with it. There have been treatments that have been developed using that. You know, bone marrow transplant is a form of adult stem cell medical treatment. And these are perfectly fine. Or oftentimes are perfectly fine. I guess I shouldn't say in all cases. So we don't want to say stem cells are bad. It's the embryonic stem cells. Why? Because that embryo is our neighbor. And that we are to love them and protect them. And so there are other issues today that Cardinal O'Connor, 25 years ago, probably never dreamed of. And that is, we have the issue of human cloning and also in vitro fertilization. And this is where a child is conceived in laboratory glassware. They take those two parts, part from the father, part from the mother, bring them together in a piece of glassware in order to conceive the child. This is also intrinsically evil. Why is that? Because God has ordained it that conception is to occur inside of his mother's body. It's not to be taken outside into a laboratory. Every child has a right to be conceived in the natural place. And so because of this, this is intrinsically evil. Now, we don't want to say that the child himself is somehow not a gift. Every child is a gift from God. And this type of procedure, I'm talking about IVF, human cloning hasn't quite happened yet, but it will happen, I'm sure, within 20 years we'll be hearing about it. But it's similar to IVF. We want to make sure that we understand that every child is a gift from God. And there are many children who have been conceived this way. And they are, a great gift. So we're not saying that. We're saying, though, that what their parents have done, that is the sin. So the child doesn't bear any stigma, but the action is the sin. And this is always sinful. In no cases is this moral. And then finally, the fifth topic is, I'm going to have to use a language here because I don't want to use some words, but I think all the adults will understand. And that is these new, some people want to propose new forms of marriage. That is, I think everybody understands what I'm talking about. We have one man and one woman. And that is how God created our race. He created us. It is founded in our nature that marriage is between one man and one woman. And there is no other alternative forms. It is based in our nature. And when we look at the child again, you know, oftentimes we have these arguments, but let's look at the child and we say, God creates every one of us to be conceived in that way and to grow up in a family in that way. And every child has a right to a father and a mother. It is a natural right. When we talk about these issues, we forget about it because oftentimes we're engaging with people who don't believe that. But as Catholics, we need to remember that. And this is, again, loving our neighbor, loving that child to make sure that he or she can enjoy those rights that God has given them. Now, of course, again, there can be things that happen in life. Unfortunate situations where a child is conceived outside of marriage or a spouse passes away. And then in that case, oftentimes we might find where the other spouse might have to move in with someone else. And those things happen. But what we want to say is, though, those type of situations, first of all, are not marriages. And secondly, they are not on the same equal level as a true marriage, that is one man and one woman in a family. We want to make sure of that. And yes, a child can grow up perfectly healthy through the grace of God in those type of situations, but we want to make sure that that situation is not the same thing as what is being pushed in society I think all the adults here understand what I'm saying. And so these five topics, abortion, euthanasia, mercy killing, embryonic stem cell research, cloning and IVP, and then also false notions of marriage, are sometimes called the five non-negotiables. As Catholics, we will never accept these as being true. Never. It is part of our faith, and that is based upon our love of neighbor, that is, that child or that person. It is based upon our love for them. And so we can never accept any of these things as being true. Unfortunately, in our country today, in our world, many people, even people who claim to be Catholics or Christians, don't hold to these values, don't hold to these truths, do not love their neighbor in the proper way. And so the reason why I'm speaking about it here is because we have to remember this when we vote in the election. These five issues are of a different order. They are of a greater importance than many of the other issues that are out there. You know, we're having this economic downturn. It's been going on for a number of years, and we read a lot about it in the media. But we want to make sure that that is a lower priority than these five non-negotiables. Because we can argue, well, this guy, I think, can get the economy going, or this guy can get the economy going. And those are judgments. And I think this guy is more, he's more of a capitalist, so I like capitalism, so I want him in. But that is of a different level. You know, here in San Diego, of course, immigrant issues are a major topic. But again, we have to remember, that is of a different level than these five non-negotiables. And so we can find a writing, or some writings by some of the members of the church. So Cardinal Ratzinger wrote about this. He talked about these life issues take precedence over other types of issues. And so when we evaluate our candidates, these have to be the first things we look at. If both candidates hold to the Catholic position on these five, so we have this guy and this guy, then we can then look at these other topics. Say, I like this guy's immigration policy, I like this guy's economic policy, I like this guy's foreign whatever policy. Then you make the determination. But as Catholics, though, we have to look at these five first. The five non-negotiables: abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, cloning, and these false notions of marriage. You know, in the Gospel, as I said, the Pharisees came to tempt our Lord. They didn't really believe him. The doctor, the lawyer, stood up and called him master. And he really didn't believe him to be his master. And our Lord, in the response, puts him in his place. He says, who do you think the Christ? Whose son is he? They say, David. Remember, they do not believe Christ is the Son of God. They don't want to believe that he is the Christ. And then he says, how is it that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make thy enemies thy footstool? And they couldn't answer that. Our Lord is giving them a gentle warning. They don't believe him to be the master. They've come to tempt him and to trick him. And he's gently reminding them, you're the enemy. And if you don't change your ways, you're going to be put as my footstool. And so we need to recognize these men and women who run for political office, who do not hold these five truths, the five non-negotiables. They are enemies of Christ. And so we should never vote for them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.